As the Lord shall be pleased to help me, I shall call your attention to a subject you will find in the book of Zechariah, chapter 9 and the 12th verse. Turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee. Chapter 9, the book of Zechariah, and the 12th verse. This word was penned by Zechariah many, many years ago, inspired of God to do so. But down through the ages of time, this word is applicable to all poor sinners who have the mercy to be born again wherever they are. And if you should be such a character, many of you are, by the grace of God, made to be such characters. How often do you say thank you to God for it? When you look round the world as it is, the mighty mass of mankind at war with its maker, and then you think that God in his infinite mercy has looked down on you where you are, singled you out, made you to differ from the mighty mass of mankind, created in your breast a new heart, a new nature, so that you desire to live your life unto God and for God. Oh, if you and I really understood the magnitude of that mercy, the greatness of it, what would be the outcome? Our lives would be a living doxology, but they are not, alas, very often a living doxology. Sometimes we are more like what one hymn writer says, "Dear Lord, and shall we ever live at this poor dying rate? Thy love to us, oh, how great it is, beyond words to describe, so great, and yet how little are our hearts responsive to it." And now, in looking at this subject, it tells us of a stronghold, and that is a matter for which you should give thanks every day you live. A refuge for sinners, the gospel makes known. 'Tis found in the merits of Jesus alone. The weary, the tempted, the burdened by sin were never exempted from entering therein. You will find, if you care to look it up, it will do you good to look it up if you are concerned about an interest in eternal realities. The Holy Spirit uses the illustration of a refuge, a covert, a hiding place, a stronghold, most of all throughout the sacred pages. Sometimes you find four or five of them, even in one scripture, all denoting that he is a refuge for sinners. And poor sinners have the privilege to flee unto him, like the psalmist when he said, "I flee unto thee to hide me." You remember one hymn writer? And he gives you another illustration. "Amid the sorrows of the way, Lord Jesus, teach my soul to pray, and let me taste thy special grace and run to Christ, my hiding place. Oh, how that hymn was so helpful to me when I was first made to begin to follow on to know the Lord. It was indeed an oft-repeated prayer with me, and it was not vain repetition. And it still is a hymn that I am glad to sing, and hope out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. There is then a refuge. God in his great mercy has provided it. And he provided it as the outcome of his amazing love. And remember this, he was under no obligation to do it. No necessity was laid upon God to provide a refuge for sinners, but he placed himself under an obligation when, before the world was built or time was born, he purposed to save a number which no man can number with an everlasting salvation, and devised the means how it should be brought to pass. And in devising those means, he provided a stronghold, a refuge. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I turn aside a moment. I had no thought of bringing it into the sermon, but it comes to my mind. Do remember this. This refuge, this stronghold, this hiding place is provided for poor sinners to flee into. And what saith the scriptures? Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. There is a door open to this refuge. It is open all day to the poor and the needy who knock by the way. And now, if you should live your life as you were born and live in the vicinity of this refuge, sing about it, hear sermons preached about it, hear it read about in the Word of God in the public reading, and yet you never feel any concern whatever to enter therein and enjoy the everlasting benefits afforded to those who do so. If you live and die like that, you will be lost, and the onus of it will be upon your own head. Do think on these things, dear friends. They're very, very important. For I can tell you that time is short and eternity is long. You can get illustrations to illustrate time. Time is but a bubble floating on eternity's vast sea. But there is no illustration that will ever give you any real understanding of what eternity is. Forever and ever. We do sometimes give hints about it, but it is impossible to illustrate it. But time, as far as you and I are concerned, is the next moment. Only this frail and fleeting breath preserves me from the jaws of death. Soon as it fails, at once I'm gone and plunged into a world unknown. And that moment can come to you and the preacher too, at any time, anywhere. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And now, God in his great love, his great wisdom, has provided this stronghold. And there is no preacher ordained of God to preach, or all such preachers put together, that can tell you at what a cost this stronghold And this refuge for sinners was provided. I've already quoted, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Think of it. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And now I want to look at the subject from three or four viewpoints of it. And in the context, there is that which is very striking to contemplate. For the Spirit of God by Zechariah declares, as for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit, wherein is no water. Here you are taken, as it were, God help you, to be taken, to the eternal councils before time was born, as I hinted. The blood of thy covenant. This reminds us of the covenant of grace. You remember the dear psalmist rejoiced in being shut up therein. He hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. And this is all my salvation and all my desire, for though we make it not to grow, there is this covenant of grace, which is a guarantee that all sinners born again of all ages and throughout all ages will indeed reach heaven. The covenant was ordained, and Jesus Christ guaranteed in that covenant, in the fullness of time, he would be seen among men as verily man, verily God. And that he would ratify the covenant of grace and sign it, as it were, with his own heart's blood and guarantee the fulfilling of it to all that vast host who were locked up in it. The blood of thy covenant. You get hints of this in reading the Word of God. Helpful illustrations. When you think of the children of Israel, as they were shut up so long in Egyptian bondage, and then the time came when God in his mercy wrought on their behalf, and they came forth out of Egyptian bondage. But in coming forth, there was that which they had to attend to at God's command. There was the lamb to be slain, and the blood to be sprinkled on the doorposts and lintels of the doors, so that when the destroying angel went over to deal destruction to Egyptian households, the Israelites dwelling in the shelter the blood afforded them, the destroying angel passed over. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And that is just a faint illustration of this declaration, the blood of thy covenant. And then, in the context, it tells of a pit. As for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit, wherein is no water. What is this pit? There is only one deeper pit than this pit in the context here. The pit in the context is the Adam fall. The pit that is deeper is hell itself. How deep is the Adam fall? no tongue can really tell, nor mind conceive. But as regards the blood of the covenant, it helps you to be able to sing one hymn. He saw me ruined in the fall, and loved me notwithstanding all. He saved me from my lost estate. Thy loving kindness, O how great. By the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners. And that is, all who were given to Jesus Christ in the covenant of grace, and of whom you will remember, he says, as thou hast given him all power to give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. As many as thou hast given him, thy prisoners. And Jesus Christ, when he came down into the world to do love's redeeming work, he redeemed all these prisoners that were born in the Adam fall and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But you read a word, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. The whole Church of Christ, lost in the Adam fall, as I have said, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So that when a sinner is born again, he begins to learn then that he is a prisoner in the Adam fall. He feels that he is in a pit, and he knows no help of man can be of any aid to get out. It must be a divine hand to grant deliverance. And in this pit, the word of God says, wherein is no water. All that is in it is what David found in it, ere he was delivered out of it. And you are familiar with one scripture. This will tell you what it means. And how prisoners of hope feel. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. But I must go on to open up what the text brings before us. As for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners. Here is the Father addressing his dear Son. I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water. And now, that is what you will find when you are a sinner born again. The Adam fall is indeed a pit, and you can find nothing whatever from any earthly source that will satisfy your soul's desires. There is a river, the streams whereof make glad the city of God, but it is not found flowing from any earthly source whatever. That living water which satisfies poor sinners' souls is that which a man cannot receive except it be given him from heaven. Turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. The illustration is beautiful, And I was going to say, it is simple, but it is not so simple as it reads. If you are helped to turn to this stronghold and enter in, I will tell you one scripture parallel to it you will learn. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned. Because you will not be able to turn on your own initiative and in your own strength. Turn us, O Lord God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Yet it is beautifully simple. Turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. And now, maybe it will be well to look at the character, prisoners of hope. And now, what is a prisoner? First of all, a prisoner is a living man. The dead know not anything about being the character, a prisoner of hope. The thing is impossible. It is the living that will lay these things to heart. But the all-important thing is a prisoner is an arrested man. He is known to be guilty of some crime, it may be, and the officer of the law searches him out. And when he finds out where he is, he says, I arrest you in the name of the law. And in the name of the law, there is a majesty, and you have to heed it. And when a sinner is born again, he is arrested by the law, in the name of the law. And he realizes he is a sinner, undone, undone in the Adam fall, lost. And he is answerable to the law, which declares, pay me that which thou owest. Righteousness to full perfection must be brought, lacking naught, fearless of rejection. Oh, but he cannot produce a stitch of that righteousness. One good thought, one good word, one good deed, he cannot produce it. He is undone in the Adam fall. And as he is born, there is no will to good whatever. But now God is dealing with this man in arresting him. He is a sinner born again. But he does not know much about being born again as yet. What he does realize is that he is a prisoner. And even yet, he is not a prisoner of hope. For he hears the law's loud thunders. Do this, do that, do not do this, do not do that. And he is in earnest. He is urgent in his soul's desires to have matters made right between his soul and God. But he finds with all his attempts to be better and do better, he can do nothing as the law demands it to be done. And therefore, he is very conscious that he is a prisoner, and he feels like a man in the condemned cell, and he has to put his mouth in the dust and humble himself before God and confess, if my soul is sent to hell, thy righteous law approves it well. Oh, he does realize he is a prisoner. He is fast tied and bound in the chain of his sins. And the more in heaven's own light he looks back over his life, he sees more and more, deeper down, what a sinner he really is. And he begins to feel at length No sinner needed mercy more that ever sought thy face. But God has got mercy in store for this character. He is going to be made ere long a prisoner of hope. And so the earliest evidence of being a prisoner is when a poor sinner is born again and brought in guilty before God. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he shall convince the world of sin. But then, you are made a prisoner often in your soul's experience by other things that encroach upon your life and react upon you in your soul's experience. Indwelling sin, as it rages, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart. When you have to say, I would do good, but evil is present with me. You feel at the end of a day, when you have desired to do right and be right and live unto God, and yet looking back over the day, you see wherein you have failed in this and that, in all that you would be and do. You realize that you are a prisoner. You are held fast by what you are by nature. And you cannot break those bonds. It needs a divine aid to do that for you. But there is help in God, hope in God. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then you may be a prisoner, some of you even under Union Chapel roof, this Sabbath afternoon, because you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Thus you become a prisoner, but as yet you do not feel to be a prisoner of hope, because there is so much in you that is in league with those temptations that Satan thrusts at you. You do desire that grace shall superabound over the sins that do so much more abound in you. But as yet you have not got that favor bestowed, and you remain a prisoner. You are shut up and you cannot come forth. And then I am sure that the world, as regards the spirit of it, I'm not fitting any caps on, but as you go about in it, labouring to earn the bread which perisheth, it may be, you find at the end of the day you are brought very low, and you are imprisoned by a worldly spirit which has taken possession of you. And yet, in your right mind, you would have a spiritual mind and live unto God and live for God. But the spirit of the world encroaches upon you. And what you are by nature is in league with the world. And thus you prove how often you have proved it, and so have I. To be carnally minded is death. You are a prisoner. Not only so, God may lay affliction upon you. You may have had good health for quite a while, and you are following on to know the Lord, and then God lays affliction upon you. Like Job puts it, holden in the cords of affliction, and you realize you are a prisoner. You can no longer do what you have done, and the flesh dislikes it. You do like to do what you have in your heart to do, but when God brings you to a pause in life's journey, lays affliction upon you, then you find you are indeed a prisoner. And you have to weigh matters up between your soul and God. And it is good when you help to do that. And how good it is when you can appeal to God with whom you have to do that, what he has permitted to come upon you, whatever the nature of the affliction may be, if it shall be for your soul's good, you can welcome it. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. There is just another thought. Our circumstances can imprison us. Life, as you live it nowadays, especially to some of us, is very complicated. And we live to prove every day new straits attend. And you find that your circumstances, in their varied complications, they imprison you. And you are shut in, and you cannot get out on your own initiative or by what human wisdom may suggest. You are brought to your wit's end. All your wisdom is swallowed up. All these varied characteristics of being a prisoner are known and felt by people taught of God. But there is just one other thought. Bunyan speaks in The Pilgrim's Progress of being in Doubting Castle. And now there is that viewpoint of being a prisoner. When ifs and buts and hows are hurled to sink us in the gloom of all that's dismal in this world or in the world to come, imprisoned with fears abounding, fightings without, fears within. Fears then as to whether you have got any religion that will do either to live by or at the last to die by. Fears as to whether after all that you have hoped in God, you are growing up amongst the wheat and will prove at last to be a tare. Oh, these are very searching things, and they are known and felt by people taught of God, and Satan is ever at hand to help on all matters, to discourage poor sinners who want to have matters right between their souls and God. He tells us we are weak, our hope is in vain, the good that we seek we ne'er shall obtain. And you do not feel you have got strength enough or hope in God enough to tell him he is a liar and get the advantage of doing so, and to walk out that scripture, neither give place to the devil. But alas, you credit his lies sometimes, and then you are more shut up in prison than before. And now, let us look at another viewpoint of this subject. Turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Whatever it is makes you to be a prisoner, remember one thing. I said at the outset, a prisoner is a living man, and he is an arrested man. But he is brought from being under the law sooner or later, and he becomes a prisoner of hope as he is brought before Calvary's cross and realizes there is the stronghold that God has provided. For it is the Savior in his infinite merits. And as you read of this stronghold in Isaiah, and a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. When at length the poor prisoner is brought from being before Sinai's mount and under the law condemned, brought at length to Calvary's cross, and there with living faith can see Jesus as he died in the stead of such poor sinners as he feels to be, hope springs up. It may be only a faint hope at first, but it is real. It is from the Son of Righteousness which gives a little light. Yes, who can tell but what God will be gracious unto me? You see this set forth beautifully in one of the Psalms, which I will just read to you a little. Here is godly David. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord, the depths of the Adam fall. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Here you see, he is turning to the stronghold, and in doing so, I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. He has become a prisoner of hope. And he goes on to encourage other poor prisoners. Let Israel hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. There is every encouragement for you, poor sinner, to turn, as grace is given, to this blessed stronghold in our text. Jesus Christ, as he died on Calvary's cross, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And remember, whatever godless preachers may have to say, and godless critics who would cut the word of God to pieces altogether as to its divine authority, Calvary's cross is a blessed reality, and it is a stronghold, and it stands like a beacon in the world's dark night, and that word is still being fulfilled. I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. In what was done on Calvary's cross, the stronghold was provided, guaranteed. Turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. And this stronghold is not only Jesus Christ as the incarnate Word, in all that he is as the sinner's friend, but this stronghold also is the written word. And Jesus Christ declared, in the volume of the book, it is written of me. What do you sing sometimes? I wish you would lay to heart more what you do sing, and reduce it to practice, and you would get more joy in the things of God than you are often the subject of, alas. And you do sing this. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he hath said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled. Yes, the word of God is indeed a blessed stronghold. And in these days when the world is in such chaos and confusion, and you wonder what the future holds in store, you have only to open the Holy Bible and it will tell you. What saith the Scriptures? And it will make plain, they that in the Lord confide and shelter in his wounded side shall see all dangers overpast, stand every storm, and live at last. Turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. You see, in the Word of God, there are precious promises, there are blessed invitations, and there are God-glorifying precepts. And what you need divine aid to do is to plead these things, promises, precepts, invitations, turn them into supplications before God. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Oh, that is how you turn to the stronghold. When you turn aright, you turn with the word of God as your authority to turn. And you can remind the Lord, as it were, of what saith the Scriptures and how it is suitable to you as a prisoner, in whatever way you are made a prisoner. You are welcome to tell him all the truth about it, and he will make you to be a prisoner of hope, and you will find a welcome awaiting you in the stronghold that he has provided. Then you will say, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear. And then when you think of the name of the Lord as Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Oh, what a blessed stronghold is Jehovah Jireh. And the providence of God arises from it. And what saith the Scriptures? They that wait upon the Lord shall not want any good thing. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? In this blessed stronghold, you are safe from all the assaults of hell itself, and whatever the world at large may purpose to do. Turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. And when you turn, you will know what you are turning for. There will be many matters affecting you along life's way, and you are welcome at any time, wherever you may be, in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You turn to the stronghold for shelter, and blessed shelter it is. And you will feel like the man in Solomon's song, when he said, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. You turn, and you are welcome to turn, for the shelter this stronghold affords, and for the supplies laid up therein, according to this word. And do think on that word according to what it declares. My God shall supply all your needs out of his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. What a great word that is, to encourage poor sinners to trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. And then you will turn to this blessed stronghold, because Jesus Christ has said, who is the stronghold in all that he is as the sinner's friend, I will not leave you comfortless. And you will turn to him for that comfort which he alone can bestow as the God of all comfort. And you will also turn to him many times along life's way for that counsel he is so ready to give. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Much might be said about it, but I must come to the Amen. You will also find that word fulfilled when you turn to this stronghold, when sometimes you are battered about by earth and hell alike and hardly know what you are and where you are. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There you know what this means. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. But it all hinges on this. Turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Think of that word I said, turn thou me, and I shall be turned. And remember, this stronghold is not afar off, but it is accessible. And Jesus is the door, yet the sides are two. Inside, outside, which side are you? Amen.